Okay, for Perek Hey Mishnah Zion, what you have to remember is that you're not allowed to get any hana'ah from Yain Nesach. You're not allowed to get any benefit from wine that was used for libations for Avodah Zarah. So part of that hana'ah, we know, is that you're not allowed to, not only you're not allowed to drink the wine, but you're not allowed to sell that wine. You're not allowed to get money in exchange for that wine. If you did get money in exchange for the wine, if you sold the Yain Nesach to a guy, the money would be usher b'anah. You're not allowed to get any benefit from that money. So Mishnah says as follows. Uman in Shal Yisrael, if you have Jewish workers, and an Uman, you know, compared to the Poel that we had a few Mishnahs ago, usually a Poel is a person who's doing intense labor. He's schlepping things, he's doing intense work in the fields. An Uman is a craftsman. He does a trade, he practices some sort of a trade or a craft. So if you have an Uman, if you have these Jewish workers, Shashalach lam nachri chavish l'yein nesach b'scharn, that the guy sent them a barrel of wine, a barrel of yain nesach, as their wages. Mutarim lomalo, they are permitted to tell him, ten lano stemeha, give us its value. Give us give us money instead. The image in nichnas al rishusim, but if it already entered into their possession, into their domain, into their rishus, usher, then it's prohibited. In other words, what's going on in the Mishnah is as follows. If the guy wants to pay them with yain nesach, and he drops off the yain nesach in their house, and they bring the yain nesach in, and these workers then realize, ayvei, he gave us yain nesach. Yain nesach is a problem. So let's call him up right now and ask him if instead of giving us Yain Nesach, can we give him back the Yain Nesach that he gave us, and he'll pay us cash instead. The Mishnah says that's a problem, because once they received that Yain Nesach, it's theirs, which would mean then that if they call up the guy now and say, can you give us cash instead, that means that he's going to be giving them cash in exchange for the Yain Nesach, which would mean that they're getting Hana from the Yain Nesach. That would be a problem. But, what about if they didn't yet receive the Yain Nesach? What about if they know that he's dropping off with the delivery boy? They didn't accept it yet. It's not in their possession. So, and then they realize, I think he's paying us in the form of Yain Nesach. So they call him up and they say, can you please, instead of giving us Yain Nesach, can you please give us cash instead? That's fine, because at that point, they're not getting money in exchange for the Yain Nesach. Okay, that's the first part of the Mishnah. Now, for the second part of the Mishnah, the Mishnah says, "Hamocher yeno lenach." If a person is selling his wine to a guy, pasak achalamadan. If he set a price, if the Jew who's selling this wine to the guy, he set a price for the wine, achalamadan, before he measured it out. Madan from lashon of medida. Medida is measuring. So then, dam of mutar. Then it's money. Then its value is permitted. What's going on over here? So the way, at least, to think about this. You know, nowadays, when if you want a bottle of soda, you can go to the store and you can pick up a bottle off the shelf and buy it. But in those days, it was more like they had either like how we have Slurpees or how we have coffee. That's more or less how they sold liquids. So now maybe this is a good way to think about it is when you buy a coffee nowadays, you'll go to the counter usually, and you will pay for the coffee, and they will dispense the coffee for you and then give it to you. A Slurpee is the opposite. A Slurpee, you'll go to the machine, you'll dispense the Slurpee, and then you'll pay for the Slurpee afterwards. So what the Mishnah is saying is, let's say the Jew and the guy are trying to figure out how much they're going to agree on a price for this wine, and they're handling with each other, and the Jew and the guy reach an agreement. They agree on a price that the guy is going to pay for the wine. And they agree on this price before the Jew dispenses that wine. Then, dam of mutar. Then we say that the money that the Jew is going to receive for that wine is permitted. Why? What's the issue that we're concerned about? What we're concerned about is that if once the guy has possession of the wine, if he touches that wine, there's a problem. It becomes yain nesach for our purposes, and therefore the Jew cannot receive money in exchange for that yain nesach. And so that's what we have to know. At what point exactly does this wine become the guy's? So what the Mishnah says is that if they agree on a price before they dispense it, and now the Jew dispenses the wine into a cup, and the guy now has that cup, when the guy pays for that wine, it's perfectly fine to accept the money and to have enough of that money. Why? Because the moment that the guy takes that cup, accepts that cup of wine, or the jug of wine, whatever it is, he acquires it, it's his, and he owes the Jew money. Now, at what point, though, does the wine become Yayin Nesach? The wine would become Yayin Nesach only if the guy touches it. But the guy didn't yet touch the wine itself. He took the cup that contains the wine in it, right? So if what that would mean then is that the second that the guy acquires this cup, the second that the guy receives the cup from the Jew, receives this flask of wine from the Jew, he now owes the Jew money, and that means that he owes Jew money already before the wine can possibly become Yayin Nesach. And therefore, if the Jew receives that money, he's going to be getting money not in exchange for Yayin Nesach. But, says the Mishnah, Madad Achlo Pasach, if he dispensed the wine, if he measured out the wine before they agreed on a price. So, let's say it's more like the Slurpee case, where you dispense the Slurpee and then you pay for it afterwards. So if you, which is not quite comparable, but it's good enough for our purposes, is that if the Jew dispenses the wine into a cup and he gives it to the guy, and the guy is holding on to it, and now they're arguing over the price, and they finally agree on the price, dam of asur. Then its value, its monies, are going to be prohibited. Why? Because when do they agree on the price? They agree on the price only after the guy has possession of this cup of wine, of the wine in his flask. Which would mean then that when he touches that wine, the wine is Yayin Nesach. And when that wine is Yayin Nesach, whose wine is it? Well, it doesn't belong to the guy yet, right? Because when the guy is holding on to this cup now, he is not agreed to pay for it. He might not like the price that the Jew sets for him, which would mean then that while the guy is holding on to it, now it becomes Yayin Nesach. They haven't agreed on a price yet, which means that this wine that the Jew currently owns is Yayin Nesach, which means that if he accepts money for it, he is getting money in exchange for Yayin Nesach, and that money is a problem. So that's what the Mishnah is saying. Just to be clear, the Mishnah says, Amokhi Yeinu Lednach, if a person is selling his wine to a guy, Pasak Achlo Madad, if he sets a price with the guy before he measures out the wine, before he dispenses out the wine and hands over the cup of wine to the guy, and now he hands over the cup of wine to the guy, and now the guy acquires the wine, and now he's going to be paying for that wine, Dam of Mutar. Then it's money, its value is permitted. Then the Jew is allowed to accept payment for that wine, and the money that he received is fine. But Madad Achlo Pasach, if he measured out the wine before he set a price for the guy, so that means that he dispensed the wine into a cup. He gives the cup to the guy, and now they're arguing over the price, and the guy might not agree to the price. So that means that this wine becomes Yayin Nesach while it is in possession of the Jew, while it's in the Jew's possession. And so therefore, Dama Vasur, and therefore, its money, the money that the guy would eventually pay for this wine, would be prohibited. Because it would be money that the Jew received in exchange for Yayin Nesach. Natal es ha-mashpech, if the Jew took the mashpech is from a lashon of shvicha, of pouring. This was the instrument that they used for pouring wine from the larger barrel into these smaller cups. In other words, it was like some sort of a funnel that they used in order to dispense the wine. So umadad lesoch hatzluchiso shel nachri, and he measured into the tzluchas, like a jug or like a flask of some sort that the guy has. So now here we have an interesting case. This is where you have the following. Let's say we know that this might be an interesting question in Hilchos Kashrus. Let's say the policy now is just like with Slurpees. If you have like a big gulp, you can use the cup and dispense from the Slurpee machine into your cup. Well, what about if, let's say, with coffee, they had a similar thing? Let's say a guy uses his cup, his treif cup, his not kosher cup, in order to dispense coffee into that cup. Or he uses his not kosher big gulp in order to dispense Slurpee into that cup. So what's the potential issue over here? What we're going to talk about is that if you hold the coffee cup under the machine and dispense coffee into the coffee cup, there's a stream of liquid that there's a stream of liquid, a jet of liquid that basically connects the cup to the machine, right? There's the cup is connected to the machine through this stream of liquid. So now the question is going to be, well, what's the story with the wine that's either being dispensed or the wine that's in the cup? Let's read this out. The Mishnah says, "Natal es ha-mashpech." if the Jew took this funnel type of thing, and now he is measuring into the jug of the guy, in other words, he is dispensing wine from the larger cask through this funnel into the jug, into the guy's jug, and the guy's jug, presumably, as far as we're concerned right now, the guy's jug has a little bit of non-kosher wine in it. So that's like the equivalent of his big gulp. The chazar umadad, and then he turns around, he goes back, and he measures with the very same funnel, l'soch tzluchiso shel Yisrael, into the jug of a Jew. In other words, first he uses this funnel, this kli, in order to dispense wine into the Jew, into the guy's jug, into the guy's big gulp. And then he uses the very same dispenser to dispense wine into the Jew's big gulp, or the equivalent of his big gulp. Im yesh ba akeves yayin, if the funnel has an akeves. An akeves is from a lashon of ikuv. Le akev is to withhold. So an akeves is something that withholds wine on the funnel. In other words, it's like a little retainer, that there's like a little lip by the on the funnel itself, so that wine can get stuck, and they would have that so that, you know, if you were pouring out in very small quantities, you could pour it drop by drop, and you wouldn't have to pour it a lot at a time. So if there's like the little lip on the funnel that withholds wine back from totally leaving the funnel, so now there's some leftover wine on that funnel, usser. Then the wine that's in the Jew's jug now is prohibited. Why? And this is because for a simple reason. When the Jew is dispensing wine into the guy's jug, so imagine like with the Slurpee machine. If you have a Slurpee machine that's dispensing Slurpee into the guy's big gulp, there's a stream of Slurpee that touches at the same time that's leaving the machine, that touches to the big gulp. So the machine is essentially connected to the big gulp, which means then that yayin nesech wine came into contact with a stream of liquid that connects back to the dispenser, which means that any wine that is touching, that's in that dispenser, came into contact with yayin nesech and is usser. And so, therefore, if there's a little bit of wine left over on that dispenser, on that little funnel, when the dispenser is now used to dispense wine into the Jew's jug, that means that there's a little bit of wine of Yayin Nesech that's going into his jug, which means that all that wine that he dispensed now is going to be a problem. Okay, now, says the Mishnah, Hama'ara mekeli al keli, if a person is pouring out wine from one utensil into another utensil, so you have a Jew who's emptying out wine from one kli into another kli, and it happens to be, this is similar to the first case, but he's just not using a dispenser. So let's say the guy shows up with his cup, with his big gulp, and he wants you to pour wine into that big gulp. So that big gulp has a little bit of Yayin Nesech in it already. And now when the Jew is pouring wine, he pours wine from a cup, or from his barrel, into that big gulp. So says the Mishnah, Ma'ar mekeli al-keli, if a Jew is pouring from one kli into another kli, in other words, he's dispensing wine from a kli into the guy's big gulp, es she'er mimenu, that kli from which he poured wine, mutter, is permitted. In other words, the wine that remains in the cup, in the barrel, from which the Jew is pouring out wine, is permitted. Because we're assuming that he's pouring it in such a way where it's not one long stream. It's like he's tipping over the barrel a little bit so that some wine comes out of it, pouring into the guy's cup. But that which he poured into, usser. In other words, the wine that he pours out into the guy's cup, even before it gets to the bottom of the cup, of the guy's big gulp, so to speak, even before then, the wine becomes usher. The minute that there's one stream of liquid going from that kli, from the Jew's kli, to the guy's kli, so then it becomes usher. It all becomes usher because there's a connection between the guy's kli of usher Yayin Nesech to the Jew's wine. Okay, so what do we say in this Mishnah? It's a little bit of a challenging Mishnah, but the Mishnah basically says as follows. If you have Jewish workers who are receiving Yayin Nesech for their wages, so we say if they did not receive the wine yet, they're allowed to tell the guy, please give us money instead of wine. But if they receive the wine already, then they can't do that because they'll be exchanging Yayin Nezach for money. What if you're selling wine to a guy, and the guy is going to be paying you now for this cup of wine that you just gave him? So what's the story there? So if you made up a price before you dispensed any wine, and now you dispense the wine, and the guy's going to be paying for that wine, the money is fine. There's nothing wrong with having enough of that money because he's not paying for it. You're not getting money in exchange for your nesach. But if you dispense the wine already, and now the guy is holding on to that wine, and now you're arguing over the cup of wine, how much he's going to pay, and then he pays, that money is going to be aser, because that would be money that you got in exchange for yayin nesach. What about if you're dispensing wine? So we say that there's an issue that as you're dispensing wine, there's a stream of liquid that connects from one kli to another kli. So, or the case of the funnel, is that there's a stream of liquid that connects from the guy's big gulp to the back to the funnel as the funnel is dispensing liquid. And so if the funnel has like a little lip that holds onto the wine that it's dispensing, so that wine is yayin nesach that's stuck on its lip. And if you use that funnel now to dispense wine into the juice cup, that's going to be a problem. That wine is going to be a problem. It's going to have some yayin nesach mixed into it, and that would be usher. But if you're pouring from one kli to another kli, the kli that you're pouring into the kli from which you poured is going to be permitted as long as there was no stream connecting back to it. But the kli that you're pouring into, the kli that's receiving it, well, that's going to be usher because of yayin nesach. Okay.